Welcome to the Ring of Honor review. I'm Oliver Newman.
And I'm Stephen Jackson.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm all good. Had a lovely Christmas and looking forward to the new year coming later this week. How about you, Oliver?
Yeah, glad you're well and you enjoyed your Christmas and stuff. Yeah, speaking about ROH is always a joy. And this show in particular is I'm sure, going to bring us a lot of joy by the end of it. So, yeah, just looking forward to getting this done. Going straight into the news, and the news that we have available is basically the 11th and 12th of January cards are slowly but surely getting put together. So we have ROH presents Saturday night at Center Stage in Atlanta, Georgia. The matches that have been announced are the match we knew about ahead of time, which is Rush, the former ROH World Champion, gets his rematch straight away against the new ROH World Champion in PCO. We've got Villain Enterprises of Marty Scurll, Brody King, the returning Brody King, and Flip Gordon versus Bandido, Flamita, and Rey Harus. And the ROH World Television title match is between Andrew Everett and the ROH World Television Champion, Dragon Lee. We have one half of the ROH World Tag Team Champions, Jonathan Gresham with Jay Lethal, versus the number one contenders, one half of number one contenders, Josh the Goods Woods, and the last real man, Silas Young. And we have a grudge match between Nicole Savoy and Sumi Sakai against the allure of Angelina Love and Mandy Leon. Show we want to talk about is Honor Reigns Supreme, which will be Sunday, 12th of January. And that's coming from Concord, North Carolina. And the matches that have been signed for this are an ROH World 6-man tag team title match between the champions. I'll go with the challengers first. La Fashion Ingobnable, I believe. Dragon Lee, Kenny King, with Amy Rose against the ROH World 6-man Tag Team Champions, Villain Enterprises, Marty Scurll, PCO, and Brody King. So that's the title match. The last member of Villain Enterprises, Flip Gordon, the mercenary, is going up against Flamita. Alex Zane is going up against Bandido of the Lifeblood. And the Lifeblood of Mark Haskins and Tracy Williams is going up against Vincent and Bateman. I've just realised one thing with the two cards on the 11th and 12th. Danhausen has been signed to compete once again on both cards.
Ah, cool.
And now it's the Ring of Hausen. Yeah, just wanted to add this bit of news to the news. Mary Kate Anthony ran a poll about Honor Club Watch Along, Rewind from 2019, and the card that was chosen was the G1 Supercard. I myself joined in with this on Boxing Day night, and enjoyed it to the point where I got to Kota Ibushi versus Tetsuhiro Naito for the IWGP Intercontinental title. I need to get caught up from there. And this is where me and Stephen were possibly looking at producing a show, rebooking the G1 Supercard to allow the fans to leave feeling happier than what they did, as we both feel that ROH is paying for the mistakes of the G1 Supercard some 8 months later. Isn't that correct, Stephen?
Yeah, definitely. Something we were talking about off air is with the, as we'll get into on this show, the attendances and possibly the way the actual talent roster have been sort of booked going forward, or how the shows have been booked since G1 Supercard. But I personally feel that there was a lot of negativity, what was unjust, what I've been, and we both, I think you agree as well, Oliver, in terms of the unjust negativity, but it must have definitely had an impact on the attendances. And it'd be interesting to see whether when we join together, we're able to come up with something a lot more, maybe suitable might be the wrong word, but something a bit more possibly appealing to the Ring of Honor faithful, because it was such a New Japan heavy showing aspect. So, you know, it would be interesting to see whether we can sort of slant things with the Ring of Honor aspect. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and for me and Stephen, that might be in video form. It might be on a different media platform, or we might do it for the ROH fans on our podcast platforms. Okay, so next up, we have Stephen's ROH Star Spotlight, but instead of Stephen, this week, did you like how I did?
I did. Swerve.
Nice swerve. I hope Vince Russo is paying attention. being a new wrestler, we've had the Party Peacock, Dalton Castle, and the much maligned, but Stephen's favourite wrestler ever, unless it was Jonathan Gresham, Matt Taven. And Mary-Kate Anthony's favourite wrestler as well, as we mentioned before. Yeah. This time around, for myself, because my ROH fandom started at the very beginning and kind of curtailed off midway through, we're going to be talking about an ROH OG. He was on the first show, Era of Honor Begins, an ROH legend, and somebody that doesn't get his just due, really. And add to that fact, it is his birthday today. So me and Stephen wanted to give you a big shout out, Xavier. Hope you're having a great birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Xavier.
Yeah. And for myself, much like with Stephen, we did the 5 minutes. Stephen does his in 3.5. I'm going to take my time. So... yeah, let's go back and talk about Ring of Honor OG and legend of the promotion, Xavier. So yeah, Xavier made his debut on the first show, Era of Honor Begins, in a match against Scoot Andrews, which I watched recently and thought it was very underrated. Kind of goes under the radar because of the matches on the card, especially the main event, Triple Threat match, which has gone down as one of the best Triple Threat matches in history. After this, he was a part of the ROH Road to the Title, where he lost to Amazing Red. But after this, he was granted an ROH title shot. He, with the help of Christopher Daniels, stole the ROH title, to put it bluntly, at ROH Unscripted. And then he joined the Prophecy. He defended the ROH title in good or very good or great matches against Jay Briscoe, AJ Styles, and my modern day favorite wrestler, Paul London, on two occasions. Once at Final Battle 2002 and once at the first anniversary show in 2003. As part of the Prophecy, he was an ROH tag team champion at the same time as being an ROH champion. And he went on to lose those titles consecutively whilst suffering with two concussions to AJ Styles and Amazing Red and Samoa Joe, respectively. He left ROH for a short while to get over the concussions, before returning in a big way at Death Before Dishonor, taking out Don and Marcos, everyone's favourite, tag team, the Ring Crew Express. He then went into the Field of Honor, where he started a feud with Hurricane John Walters. This is one of my favourite ROH feuds to this day. simplistic, much like the Michael Shane Paul London feud was in 2002, which led to a crescendo. Paul London and Michael Shane was the street fight for Xavier and John Walters. It was Fight Without Honor at Final Battle 2003. And even though it was a joint show between All Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor, this match stole the show and, you know, was just a brilliant, brilliant way to and end the feud with John Walters, who then was catapulted to the ROH Pure title, which is kind of mine and Steven's favourite ROH title and division. You didn't think I'd get it in, did you, Steven?
Every week's got to be somewhere.
Every time, yeah. And then from there, he's made sporadic returns to ROH once at Unscripted 2 against Bryan Danielson for the ROH World title in 2006. Then he was part of the five-year festival in the Fatal 4-Way match on the 16th of the 2nd, 2007. It's been 12-plus years since Xavier's been in ROH. And for me and for Steven, he's left an indelible mark on the company. Highly underrated, one of the most hated champions of all time. Yeah, he's, you know, I don't think me and Steven would be too concerned if we saw Xavier back. I think he would freshen up the product in a really good way, just by being him. With the two times he returned, he's had welcome back chance. So for somebody who's so hated, maybe, just maybe, the ROH fans realised, with the time away, that they actually had somebody who was a great ambassador for the company. And in closing, with just over 30 seconds to go, we'd love to see you back in ROH, Xavier. And just to see you back in a wrestling ring, because you've been, in retirement or semi-retirement for the last 3 years. So, yeah, we'd love to see you back. And hope you're having a fantastic birthday and you've enjoyed this ROH star spotlight. There we go. So, yeah, from there, we kind of go into the show. It is a best of 2019. Part one, I believe, Stephen, is going to be a part next week, isn't
there? Yeah, part one this week.
Okay, so Ian Riccoboni put a focus on the ROH World Television title and the two men to have held it in 2019. Excuse me. First off is the Hawaiian juggernaut, Jeff Cobb. And then he lost it without being pinned in a fatal four-way match at Global Wars 2019. Yeah. Canada.
Yeah.
And the title was won by mine and Stevens, Matt Taven aside, probably, most popular ROH star, Shane Taylor Promotions, Taylor. This guy is money on the mic and he can wrestle. And we'll talk about his match in a second. If there's any ROH executive listening to this, obviously with Shane Taylor's contract being up in the air, move heaven and earth to sign him again, Stephen. I'm sure that's something you agree with.
Absolutely. It has to be done. The guy just has it, and he can do it in the ring, he can do it on the mic. Matches incredible against everyone he faces. Just sign him, keep him, and help him grow to be a future Ring of Honor World Champion.
Push him towards the ROH World title.
Yeah.
Has he faced PCO?
I'm not sure, actually. I don't think he has.
I think that's a match I'd like to see. Has he faced Roosh?
Yeah, I think he has faced Roosh, but I can't remember if he's faced PCO, though. I'd really like to see.
PCO, yeah. So we've come up with a dream match there and we didn't even. PCO versus Shane Taylor. That's how you can bring him back into the company.
Yeah.
He's just fantastic. So going on my notes, Stephen, before I throw this to you, this was Bandido versus Shane Taylor from Best in the World Shane Taylor's first title defense as the ROH World Television Champion. So my notes are basically as followed. Is there anything Taylor can't do? He even did Lucha Libre in the beginning of the match, which is incredible for the size of the guy. Absolutely outstanding. The drawing with the crowd was kind of on par with Kevin Owens or Baron Corbin kind of thing.
Yeah.
Big boy splash, which is how the announcer said it. It's not what I'm thinking. Shows that he can even fly. And then kind of from there, Bandido's a special athlete from the flying to the strength, catching Shane Taylor in the air and power slamming him, which was outstanding just to, you know, just to watch. Bandido's strength was just incredible to watch. I got the note noted as well that the crowd was decent on this match, probably more than that, to be fair. Super near fall on the package power driver, and then from Shane Taylor, and on the shooting star press from Bandido, and the ending itself caught him in a, you know, from a, like a high flying move. Welcome to the land, fantastic ending. I'm not sure you can say anything on this match that I haven't already said, Stephen, but great way to kick off the show. You know, I've not seen too much of Bandido, but he impresses me at the time. Shane Taylor over the last 8 weeks has probably been the most consistent ROH wrestler that we've seen on Fight Network UK. So yeah, throwing it to you, anything you'd like to add?
Just that I thought this was a brilliant brilliant big man, again a bit like the Dragon Lee thing, big man versus small man match, but obviously Bandido's a lot taller than Dragon Lee, and just like you said, the strength of Bandido is just something else, and the fact that the crowd was behind Bandido and were chanting his name, and Shane Taylor, just, you know, he just is such a great versatile wrestler. He can do so many different things, and he's just one of those guys who just brings so much out of his arsenal, you know, you wouldn't expect. And he just always surprises you each match. And such a great pair of athletes, just the stuff they're able to do. I mean, Bandido, when he did the...
Osprey flop, Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
wicked.
Yeah. And the fact that he nearly ended up in the crowd as well. So that made me laugh as well. Just that everyone was, touching his back and, you know, giving him the support. And just thought it was great. And just to close as well, I think what I love as well about Bandido, I'm very high on Bandido as well as Shane Taylor, but, you know, Bandido's like someone I've followed a long time. But I love his mask and his attire. Like, I love the fact that it had kind of the sort of teeth jaw sort of thing on it, the little sort of the bandit part of his mask. I thought it looked great. Loved
it. There was a fan wearing it in the audience as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah. So it just shows the support behind both men. Yep. I just thought it was brilliant. Great way to start the show.
Absolutely. Next up was a couple of clips. So firstly, Matt Taven and Jay Lethal wrestling for the ROH World title in a 60-minute draw. Have you seen this match in its entirety, Stephen?
I haven't seen it in its entirety. I saw highlights because a 60-minute match is a long thing to sit through. But I have read reports of the whole thing, and they did say that it was one of the best draws in recent years. And it was a really, from the highlights, what I saw and seeing them again on the show, it was a really strong match, and the crowd were really into it. And it's one of those matches which I will go back and watch again fully to fully appreciate it, because it looked really, at the time, it looked really good. The highlights I saw and the actual show highlights looked really good as well. Did you think it was good for, in terms of like an hour, do you think it'd be one of those matches what would keep your attention for an hour? Or what do you think?
I'm not sure any wrestling match would keep my attention for an hour nowadays.
Yeah.
in all honesty. The clips obviously looked really good. They were, you know, they were really, really fighting for that title, so I can appreciate that. But it was only clips, wasn't it? So we can't say unless we see the match in full. Next up was Villain Enterprises winning the 6-man tag team titles against the aforementioned Matt Taven, Vincent, and TK Orion in the Kingdom.
Yeah.
And then it was said that the night after or before they won the ROH World Tag Team Championship.
Yep. That was the night after, I think.
So Villain Enterprises had a fantastic 2019.
Yeah.
Especially with PCO rounding it off by becoming the World Tag ROH World Champion, sorry.
Yeah.
So they've held every title in ROH, and the only reason they haven't held the Women of Honor's title is because there isn't a woman in the Villain Enterprises. But that might be something you want to look at in the future, Marty. you want to take over the company, you've got to hold every title.
Yeah.
So, that leads us on to Global Wars eSpectacular with CMLL and Ring of Honor joining forces. From Dearborn, Michigan, this was Rudos versus Villains. And Stephen, I might need your help with this. So I'll say the easy part first. The Villains is Mighty Skrull, PCO, Flip Gordon, and Brody King. The Rudos, and correct me if I'm wrong, Okamura, Rey
Bucanero,
Horatio, and Barbaro Cavernero.
Barbaro Cavernero and I can never pronounce Hechicho. We should have Ian Cabani here, shouldn't we? Because he could do it off the top.
Ian, if you're listening, want to be part of the show.
Hechiro, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, and I was thinking, there's no way I'm writing notes down on this match, first of all. But I did manage to get some things down. So the notes I wrote was, I said Brody, but I swore midway through, so I won't say that. Because we like to keep this PG. So yeah, Brody King really impressed me. During the G1 Supercard, which I've mentioned earlier, really impressed me in this match. Because, like, for me, and I said this to Stephen off air, and I've got no problem saying it now, the Villain Enterprises seem to have been made up with people just to put them in a group. But this isn't the case. Marty picked Brody King because he's a, Lucha Libre, big man who hits hard. PCO because he's crazy and, yeah, just crazy.
Yeah.
And Flip Gordon because he's really underrated as one of the ROH stars. So Villain Enterprises, I thought it was put together randomly. Definitely wasn't. For this match and for the previous match, if the previous crowd was decent, ROH has set up base in Dearborn, Michigan, because this crowd was an ROH crowd of the past.
They were
on fire for this match. The chanting was fantastic. They were all standing up on their feet, and they loved it. And it was emotional to see, really, because 8 weeks in, the crowds have dwindled. Me and Stephen are telling you from the top of our lungs that ROH is still producing a good product. Well, now you've got two crowds that kind of recognize that and are giving love to the wrestlers, which kind of hasn't been there for Final Battle Fallout, and for some of the shows that we've reviewed on Fight Network UK. So
yeah,
it was definitely amazing to see such a great crowd, and shout out to Dearborn, Michigan. Amazing stuff. One of the highlights of this match was the catapult for Rey Bucanero. Getting catapulted over the ropes into a dive was fantastic.
Yep.
PCO being PCO, did the PCO salt onto everyone. And he's just crazy, MF-er. and that is a Matt Hughes follower. And yeah, just a really fun match. If this was, you know, 2007, I would have struggled like nobody's business to write everything down. But thankfully, it's not a live show. Well, obviously it is a live show, but it's a live TV show which you can tape. So I just enjoyed it and wrote down little bits and pieces note-wise. This one wasn't as high note-wise, Stephen, so you might be able to say something about this rather than me covering everything like I did the previous match. What did you make of this?
This was actually my match of the show. I thought it was brilliant. Villain Enterprises, the chemistry they all show is brilliant. The four Lucha Libre luchadors, Lucha Libre stars, they all had their spotlight and they just meshed perfectly. And, you know, the, like you just said, Brody King is just something else. I mean, the double arm drag what he did, and that got the crowd absolutely electric. The
Marty Scurll just doing the villain thing, the crowd went for that.
Yeah,
you know, when he does the like the wing thing with the
The taunt of the bird, what he is. Oh, forgotten what bird, the crow or something, whatever he is. I'm not sure his mask. Yeah, it was just one of those matches of, like you've just pointed out, Ring of Honor of the past. It just felt like you were back in 2007 or you were back in 2006, and these crowds were rabid and everyone was getting time. And it was just as well one of those matches where everyone, especially with the luchadors, where they were wrestling their style. So it felt very... they felt very at home. Like, I know sometimes people have said in the past about communication issues with, you know, international wrestlers of, you know, but this didn't look like that at all. It just looked flawless. It just looked absolutely flawless. And Matt, like you said, PCO is just insane. It's just insane. Yeah. And that crowd,
you can understand why he's became the champion.
I about to say that's exactly
based on
what I was
about
we've
to say. Seen over the last 8 weeks. The fans just love him. And then for the people who say, "Oh, why is he champion?" Then watch this 8 weeks of TV, and you'll see why he's champion. He's
exactly,
you know, the only star that's bigger than PCO for me in the company is Marty Scurll.
Yeah. And I was just about to say exactly the same thing, and I'll just say on air now as well, all those people who think just because he's, you know, in his 50s and all this, and, you know, he shouldn't have the championship because Ring of Honor championship's about young wrestlers getting him up. It's like, PCO can still wrestle a hell of a match. Like, he does bump like no one's business, but he can still wrestle a hell of a match, and this match, along with others, proves it. So just, you know, enjoy PCO, and, you know, it is what it is, and he's going to be a great champion.
Like, how can you not get behind the story? I know. This is, you know, he was with WWF as the Quebecers, and then Pierre Carl Coulette, and and obviously matches with like Bret Hart and things of that nature, and then he kind of went into obscurity. Said that he'd been blackballed, whatever, but we still don't know the reason and that. Then he had the match against WWE UK champion Volta that went viral, and then basically got bookings off that, got brought into Ring of Honor with Villain Enterprises. And every single time he goes out, he gives you everything that he has.
Exactly.
From G1 Supercard that we talked about earlier, he got powerbombed over the top rope onto the ground. Not onto a table in the ground, onto the ground. He shouldn't have walked out of, MSG a lot, you know, of his own volition, which is what Mary Kay Anthony said in the Twitter chats that we were having and stuff. So, PCO has definitely earned this ROH world title reign. Whether it's a run, whether it's, you know, transitional or anything, we don't know. But I'm slowly seen exactly what everyone sees in him during these Fight Network UK shows, and yeah. and obviously Final Battle and Final Battle Fallout shows that we've seen. You know, if we go back and watch 2019, I'm sure that we will see exactly why PCO is where he is. But just watching these TV shows and the Final Battle weekend, yeah, he's very worthy of the ROH World title, regardless of his age.
Yeah, he is. It was great.
Yeah. So we might have to introduce that, Stephen, into the show, match of the show.
Yeah.
And we'll say each other's match of the show and stuff. Just because you've said it during this part. I think my match of the show, we've one match to go, but you've said your match ahead of time. Is Bandido versus Shane Taylor. You know, really like Shane Taylor, which we've discussed in previous episodes and obviously tonight's episode. Bandido is somebody I'm slowly getting used to as well, and I thought they meshed fantastically. So I'm going to go with that as my match of the show. And obviously Stephen's going to go with Rudos versus the Villains. I hope you enjoy this addition to the show, this match of the show. And if you share our same opinion or have a different opinion, feel free to get in contact with the social media details we give you at the end of the show.
Absolutely.
Okay. Next up, because they're going to focus on the G1 Supercard next week, was in a spoiler to me, but you know, it was 8 months ago. Matt Taven winning the ROH World title at Madison Square Garden. This is what we discussed off air, and possibly going to do this either in video form or audio form, where me and Stephen get together and rebook the G1 Supercard. This will probably play a part in it, Stephen, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Next up, Ian Riccoboni said he can't show the ladder war between the Briscoes and the Guerrillas of Destiny because it was too brutal for TV, which was a great hook because it makes me want to watch it. So the match that was the main event, and I actually believe this was a TV taping main event.
Yeah, it was.
Which is really interesting. So I guess this is already in place, but the one thing that me and Stephen are kind of crying out for is, yes, kind of highlights of your main shows, but you definitely need to get TV tapings in place for a TV company. I'm sure that's something you'll agree with.
Yeah, I do agree with it. I feel it's a must.
Yeah, obviously, like highlights of the shows and stuff, but there needs to be the way a TV is taped on Fight Network UK, hopefully going into 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the main event of the Briscoes against Roosh and Dragon Lee. And my notes on this match are as follows. Roosh attacks before the bell. Coleman was right on the money when he said that you should always try and get a win against the Briscoes, when Roosh could have given him the bull's horns and he refused to do it. At this point, I am going to say this on the podcast, when the Briscoes went to WWE for a tryout and stuff and were told that they weren't cosmetically pleasing, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen some ugly people on WWE TV, and, you know, I don't think that matters too much.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that the Briscoes went, because they would have come back fresh.
Yeah.
Because they, like, at this point in the match, I'll go into more detail afterwards, but at this point in the match, it was like, if I've seen a Briscoes match, am I kind of seeing exactly what the Briscoes can do every match? Is that kind of the same kind of thing? Even though I know they bust their ass and I know that they are, you know, putting in a hell of a lot of effort and all and absolutely everything else. I'm not trying to disrespect them in any way. But I was just thinking in terms of like being freshened up and stuff. Like if you remember from ROH back in the day, they were obviously brought in as brothers. Then there were opponents. Then they went away because there was a motorcycle accident, wasn't there? And then they came back as the Briscoes and tag in and were fantastic against like Austin Aries and Roderick Strong, which you had mentioned before, which happened at Unified. And then they've had so many fantastic tag team matches against Generico, Steen, Motor City Machine Guns, etc. And it kind of felt like to me midway through this match that I wish they went to WWE, had a run there and then came back, because they would be better because of who they're wrestling and how many times they're wrestling. And then they'd be fresh because they'd be coming back to the company as opposed to staying in the company, much like we said about Xavier earlier from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you feel that way, Stephen, or is it just me?
No, I do feel that they should have signed up to the WWE or to another company, and then they had returned and brought, you know, even just for their own careers as well, just to see whether they could conquer the WWE, because Jay and Mark are such great promo guys as well, and they're so, although they may not be cosmetically pleasing in an aesthetic sense, like in terms of a TV sense, they just both draw you in with both their in-ring ability and their promo ability. So I feel that they should have done it.
Mark Briscoe against the Beer City Bruiser.
Yeah.
Neither of them have got any teeth. And the way I know this is going off on a tangent and stuff. And the way he lost his teeth was they were wrestling the match or tagging in a match. And Jay threw a chair at Mark, didn't he? And he didn't catch hit him in the face and the mouth. And that's how he lost his teeth.
So,
Beer City Bruiser versus Mark Briscoe on my dream card for 2020. No reason for it to happen other than that, to be honest. So going back to my notes. Mark gets busted open, but I'm not quite sure how that happened. Did you pick up on that?
I think it was when he got knocked into the barricade. And I think somehow, because those barricades have that terrible metal sort of covering, don't they? And I think maybe the metal might have caught him, because it wasn't like he bladed or anything. It was a proper cut, you could tell.
Yeah. And just quickly, because it's just dawned on me now, because you said about the guardrails. The guardrail for the G1 Supercard, and this is completely off topic, but I'm going to say it. It showed, like on the hard cam side, it showed New Japan and the G1 Supercard. And it was ROH to one side by the turnbuckle.
Yeah. So if
looking at it, you would think it was a New Japan show.
Yeah.
Which goes back to what you were saying before about, about it being New Japan and just part ROH and stuff.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting what comes to my mind halfway through a show. Okay. So next up was the Froggy Bow, which is a really cool move. We talked about it on Brian Zane's top five moves in Ring of Honor, and the video clip didn't show the actual froggy part, did it? Just showed Jobber, which we thought was funny. The fans were thinking it was a free. I was thinking it was a free. I'm sure you were too.
I was.
Yeah, Todd Sinclair didn't count the free, did he?
No.
When it was, yeah. So, but that's happened in other promotions, so we're not going to, go on about that. That's just how it was. Next thing I was thinking was, where was this in the same building, same crowd? Where were they at Final Battle Fallout when they were sitting on the hands? Unless it was Maria Manic getting chokeslammed through a table by Bully Ray. Then they chanted Fight Forever, and a match that I thought this is a bit cold to start with, even though there's four big stars in Ring of Honor, ended up with the fans feverish and a really good main event. It was basically the half and half, a fight and a wrestling match. And they really brought it. And everything I was thinking before, mid-match and after the match, this was a great way to end the show. So throwing it to you, Stephen, what did you make of this match?
thought it was another excellent match. I thought, like you said, it seemed to be in a completely different venue to the previous Fallout show. The crowd were actually really into it. And I think the commentary as well for this match was outstanding. I feel that Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman did an amazing job commentating this match. And I feel that the chemistry between all four guys was unreal. And that that head scissors what Dragon Lee does to the outside is just phenomenal. And
it's like what Andrade does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
On WWE, yeah.
Because
you said it for the final battle match.
Yeah.
And it happened against Shane Taylor, but it was a beaut in this Briscoes match. It was fight forever. It was feverish at the end of the match.
We just wish
this crowd was at Final Battle Fallout and Final Battle, don't we?
Absolutely. It was like the old Ring of Honor tag matches of old with the Briscoes, 2006, 2007 Briscoes magic, you know, where they just were able to read off each other, and it was such a great...
And it's much like in Dearborn, Michigan, which is now my new favourite place. They were incredible. The fans were fantastic. They were, like I said, they were decent to good in the Bandido versus Shane Taylor match. They were feverish in the Rudos versus the Villains match. And they were the same in this Briscoes versus Rush and Dragon Lee match.
They were.
Finished things up. So, yeah, at BBGW Pod, we have a partnership with powerslam.tv. Unfortunately, there's no Ring of Honor footage on there at this moment in time, but you can see over 6,500 hours of wrestling from over 140 plus promotions, and it's a really good streaming service, which we recommend.
Highly recommend. Have a month.
Yeah, exactly. Have a month on us using the code BROKENFREE. For myself, if you'd like to support me, as much as we should all be supporting Ring of Honor, you can do probably even more so, actually. I need the money. You can support me and obviously from my book, they have Ring of Honor mentioned in them from the Unified and 5-year festival cards in my British book on A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And then in 2008, I was at the Orlando shows in Florida. And that's called A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. Stephen owns a copy of both books, so I'm going to throw it to him for some positivity.
Great books. Really enjoyed reading them. Really in-depth look at the matches and the events of each of the years. And yeah, just really, really enjoyable. And if you want to read them, then definitely I can recommend them. So definitely check out Oliver's link, what he just mentioned to you on the podcast, because I'm sure that you'll enjoy them, and as well as I did. I thought they were great.
Absolutely. I didn't have to pay him anything for that. So you can get those books signed on afansperspective.bigcartel.com. On Amazon, on paperback, Kindle's instantaneous download, so you get it with you straight away. Or if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can get them for free. So, yeah, if you could support myself and us at the ROH Review, because we want to keep this ROH Review and anything we do ROH-wise free for all the listeners, because we really appreciate the listen since the debut show. It's been absolutely fantastic. And we want to keep it free, so please support myself and Stephen. For Stephen, he has some articles that I'm sure he would like to promote.
Yeah, certainly. So you can read my articles about Ring of Honor and different aspects of the industry at the Wrestling Estate. So if you go onto Google and search the Wrestling Estate, you'll be able to find my articles about, as I've just mentioned, Ring of Honor and I've got a few articles about New Japan and various other aspects of the industry. And as well as myself, there are my colleagues as well at the Wrestling Estate, who we write about a whole variety of different issues and events. So from WWE to Impact to Ring of Honor to the independent scene. And each week we also do a weekly roundtable where we cover a different news item or a different topic, where we all sort of chip in and air our views about different events happening. And as well as the Wrestling Estate website, you can follow the Wrestling Estate at the Wrestling EST on Twitter. So that's the Twitter handle at the Wrestling EST. And myself, you can also find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at stj215. Where you can send all your Ring of Honor hate mail, as mentioned, or any Ring of Honor compliments or any Ring of Honor chat. You can just send that across to me on Twitter. And yeah, we can just cover everything together. So yeah, thank you, Oliver.
Absolutely. Before you went into your social media, I was going to give you some props for your articles, but now you've done it, I don't think I need to. I've read a number of Stephen's articles. This is why we kind of got together in the first place. The ones that jump out to me was his review of Brian Pillman's book, which I thought was really good. And one of his latest articles was on the game-changing pay-per-view When Worlds Collide back in 1994. Which kind of set the tone for the WCW Cruiserweights. He did a really great job researching and writing that article. So check both of those out on the Wrestling Estate website.
Thank you.
Yeah. For the hub is BBG Wrestling. For the main show, it is at BBGWPod, both on Twitter. For myself, I am at Brumial on Twitter, at Brumial on Instagram, and Fans Perspective UK on Facebook. And the website is BBG Wrestling. And yeah, that is bringing an end to tonight's show. And I think all that's left to be said is Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year, everybody, and thank you for listening.
Yep, thank you very much for your support, and we'll see you in 2020.
We will see you in 2020, everyone.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.